In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What the Lord said to Adam in Genesis 3:19, He also said to us this evening in the impositions of ashes. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. You are dust. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of the season of Lent. And this holy season of prayerful and penitential reflection begins by the imposition of ashes, which visually confess the wages, that the wages of sin is death. We die because we are sinners, who are corrupt through and through body and soul. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. Jesus says that the diseased tree bears bad fruit. So we are marked today with ashes, like beautiful trees lining a boulevard. They may appear healthy, but have been marked by city officials because they are diseased, infectious, and dying. We may be young, beautiful, and healthy, or not, but we have all been marked by ashes. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. Lent is not a time for superficial spiritual calculation, where we select a few sins that are troubling us, and we embark on this 40 days journey of discipline to try to get rid of them and improve our score on some heavenly final exam. Yet Lent is a time to consider how destructive sin is in our lives and the lives of others. As God's baptized children, we don't need to live like this. So we live lives of daily repentance. But we live for holy absolution, which is the only way we can truly live. As we reflect on our sinfulness and mortality, we look to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, the gospel reading for today. And as most of you know, Andres and I just came back from a trip to Israel where we visited. Many places connect to Bible stories, especially places where Jesus would have been during his earthly ministry and life. Of course, some of these places we cannot be exactly sure, but Christian tradition at least gives us an idea of the geographical area and the natural background of the Bible stories. And this is the case for the Sermon of the Mount. This mountain is where they call, we say, Jesus preached the Sermon of the Mount, which is about just a half a mile west from the northern region of the Sea of Galilee and 1 mile from Capernaum, where Jesus spent a lot of time in his ministry. This is just outside, we are standing just outside of the Church of the Beatitudes located there. And this place is where we were standing, they say, is part of an old Roman road that would used to go through there, and many people would go by there. And so just is clear, I want to make a parenthesis here. Andres and I, we're really there, okay? Here we are on that point. Okay? So these are not just pictures I found online, which you may find some even better than we took. Okay. Anyway, as you can see on the pictures, and of course, I took a little video too, just so you have an idea of the space there. This place forms a natural amphitheater for Jesus to speak to the crowds that were following him after witnessing his teachings and miracles. He needed room for all these people to stand and hear what he was going to say. But also, in that crowd, included the Pharisees that were checking Jesus out. And we should point out that the Pharisees really liked popular opinion. In their desire to show people how to live, they idolized a positive reaction. The purpose of their forms of piety was not for them to praise God, but instead for them to use God for something they wanted, to be praised by people. So in our gospel reading for this Ash Wednesday, our Lord Jesus teaches us specifically about prayer and spiritual life. Jesus tells us, "Be aware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them." When you give to the needy, when you pray or fast, when you put on sackcloth and ashes, don't do it to impress others. Almsgiving, praying, prayer, fasting, and ashes are not wrong. Rather, these activities are good and beneficial. They are what God's people do. But like everything we do in life, these acts can be and often are corrupted. We don't need to blow a trumpet and draw attention to our good deeds. We don't need to wear a t-shirt that says, "I am more pious than you because I've got ashes and you don't." The liturgical rite of imposition of ashes in Christian churches goes back to the 10th century. The use of ashes, however, goes back to Old Testament times and was a common way to express outward penitence and mourning which are hidden in our hearts and minds. Ashes came often with sackcloth garments made from coarse fabric woven from flax or goat's hair. Today, when you try to picture someone wearing sackcloth and covered with ashes, visually at least, it's somewhat similar in appearance to a homeless person in rags living on the street. When you walk by, it's tempting to think, "Whoa, you look filthy and downright disgusting. What did they do to end up like this?" And you hope they don't talk to you. Of course, they could well say to you, "You think I look repulsive? Well, you are absolutely right, but you ought to see what I look on the inside." And it's what is really unsettling is that we know deep down we are the same on the inside. So we come to the Ash Wednesday solemn assembly and are marked with ashes that give witness to what we are inside and outside, in body and soul. "I am dust, and to dust I shall return." It's not my favorite thing to put ashes on your head. Not because of the mass in my hands, but because it is very hard to look in your eye and say you are going to die. It's a stark proclamation of the law that the wages of sin is death. I like all of you, and I really like all of you alive. It is tough to tell you that apart from Christ, you are a bunch of dust that's just holding it together for a little while. But you are not without hope. It is just that your hope isn't in you, and you're giving, and you're praying and fasting, but your hope is in Christ. Knowing your sinfulness, There is no sweeter news to you than the gospel. For you, Jesus became flesh, the same sort of flesh that you have and that is slowly failing you. Except that being without sin, his flesh did not fail him. Because of your poverty of sin, he became poor so that he might give you the riches of his grace. Because your prayers would otherwise go unheard, he prayed that his Father's will be done, and then went and did it for your salvation. Because your fasting could get you nowhere, he made himself nothing and went to the cross. He didn't have to die, but he did in your place for your sin. He was laid in a grave, but he didn't return to dust. He rose again on the third day with forgiveness, life, and salvation for you. As we heard tonight in our epistle reading from 2 Corinthians, for our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For his sake, you have life. As God formed Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, so the Holy Spirit breathes life into you by his means of grace, his word, and his sacraments. The ashes remind us that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. But did you notice that following the imposition of ashes, we confessed our sins? And we also received holy absolution. You heard the word of the Lord saying to you, you are forgiven. The next time in this service that you come up to the altar, you will not just pass by. You will stand around the altar. You will be allowed into the feast because you have a sign on your forehead, the sign of the cross. The ashes will soon be gone, but the cross put upon you at your baptism is there forever. It marks you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. You belong here because you belong to Jesus. You will eat and drink and be strengthened and preserved in body and soul until life everlasting. I wish the ashes on our foreheads would last a little longer, so others outside of their church could see them. I'm not suggesting that you go to bed tonight without washing your face, just to see what happens. We know what would happen, and I know I would be in big trouble if I did that. But I wonder what the reactions would be if others could see us like this. Perhaps they would look at you a bit perplexed, causing you to remember you have ashes on your forehead. They could discreetly wipe their foreheads, kind of to let you know that you have something there. Or they could actually ask you why you have a smudge on your face. If that would be the case, there would be no need to blow the trumpet and go into a lengthy theological discourse. You could just keep it simple. Oh, it's Ash Wednesday, and I was at church. Or, we are marked on the forehead with ashes to remind us we are sinners and we won't live forever. When the pastor put on the ashes, it was in the shape of the cross who died, the cross of Jesus who died to forgive our sins and grant us eternal life. So, I'm very content today. And let me tell you, a smidgen of ashes, a few words, and a contented smile go a long way. We may not have ashes on our foreheads tomorrow or in the Lenten days ahead, but because you are a forgiven child of God and you do what God's people do, maybe you will be noticed by your almsgiving, your prayers, perhaps even fasting. And if you are noticed by that, there is no need to follow, no need to blow a trumpet or go into a lengthy theological discourse. Keep it simple. A simple action, a few words, and a contented smile go a long way. In the name of Jesus.